Well, in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, we've been on a series now for a few weeks that we're calling, as anybody know, we changed the title. We talked about the God of increase, but then we realized that it was supposed to be different. And now we're talking about foundational principles of increase. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. True increase is from God. Increase of good is only from God. And he is the God of increase. He's not the God of decrease. And he's not the God of staying the same. Somebody say, my God is the God of increase. What's his will for your life? Increase. What about next year? Increase. More increase. Right? And if he tarries, his coming any time after that. And in fact, past this life, I assure you, it's still going to be increase. He won't change. In Psalm 115, we quote this often during offering time, Psalm 115 and 12, it says, the Lord's been mindful of us. He will bless us. What was he thinking about? Blessing you. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Keep going. He will bless them that fear the Lord. Is that you?
Yes.
Both small and great. That covers everybody that believes in the Lord. That's his plan, blessing. And the blessing brings increase. Keep going. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now we quote that. You've heard that often during offering time. And that's for people that, as the scripture said, those that fear him, those that reverence him. And he goes on to say, verse 15, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It did not make itself. We have no experience of anything that ever made itself. The Lord made the heaven and the earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men.
Thank you.
He made this planet for us. Not us for the planet. And ultimately, the planet cannot be saved. The scripture tells us that it's going to melt with fervent heat. Something's going to happen to our star, our sun. And it's going to melt. And that's because of sin and the curse. But the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth wherein is no curse. Woo! We've never been in a place like that. You talk about nice. Woo! Never too hot. Never too cold. Never too wet. Never too dry. Huh? No aging. The grass doesn't dry out and die. The flowers don't die. The animals don't die. Come on, are you listening? This is where you want to go. And if you got friends that are not saved, you need to tell them about this. They do not want to miss out on this. And this is not just for 100 years. This is for millennia after millennia, age after age. So the blessing of the Lord brings the increase. Go with me to Isaiah, the first chapter, if you would. Now, we've been on this series for a number of weeks now. And if you haven't been with us, let me encourage you, go online on the website, go to the Word Supply, and you'll see the series there, and get caught up with us. And what the Lord has dealt with us in these foundational principles of increase, he's given us three main ones. Not to say that's an exhaustive list, but these are three of the big ones. And the first one, can anybody remember what the first one was? Honor. Honor. The Lord said, we got it on top of the platform here. Those who honor me, I will honor. Will you enjoy the full blessing of the Lord and increase if you don't honor him? No, you won't. What was the second one? Worship. You might say, well, why would that be? Because covetousness is idolatry, the scripture said. And loving things and wanting things and money and stuff more than you do God is idolatry. And will you be blessed and enjoy the Lord's full increase if you chase after stuff and chase after things and you care more about your car, your house, your clothes, your jewelry, your money than you do serving God? Y'all are too quiet. You need some help? The answer is no. You won't. No. You won't experience the full blessing of the Lord. And it's not because he's holding back on you. It's just because you're not on his track.
That's right.
You're not on the path he has for you. And the Lord is not going to add something to you or help you get something that's going to take you away from him. That you're going to spend more time with that than you do with him, that he'd be doing you a disservice.
Yes.
He'd be hurting you. But when you, even if at one point you cared too much about something, you can change and you can get to the place. You shouldn't have anything that you wouldn't sow or let go if the Lord told you to. Right? Money, house, things, clothes, jewelry, vehicles. If the Lord says sow that, if he says let that go, sell it, put it in the ministry, whatever, then you should do it. And you should do it gladly, knowing that if he told you to do that, he's got something better for you. Is that right? He's got a harvest for you. But if you choke up, that's what happened to the rich young ruler. When the Lord told him to liquidate and give to the poor, he choked up, and it showed why the Lord put his finger on that, because that meant more to him than following him did. It was proven. He wouldn't let it go. He held on to it. And it cost him. He missed God. So, honor, worship. What's the third one? Obedience. And you'll see that here in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah 1, verse 19, he said, if you be willing and obedient, what'll happen? You just never know what God's going to do. Huh? It might not be his will for you to have any nice stuff. Well, now, you know, people have all kind of ideas, but where'd they get them? Where'd they get them? The Lord said, through his word, through his prophet, if you be willing and obedient. Now, that's two things. You know, sometimes you'll hear kids say, all right, I'll do it. Well, you ain't willing, right? Even if you did it, you might be obedient, but you're not willing. Now, the Lord requires, he's all about the heart. Just going through the motions is not good enough for him. You got to be willing and follow through. Do it. But if you'll do that, there are benefits. You'll eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, will you get the same thing? So we're talking about foundational principles of God increasing you. Will you get the same benefits? Will you experience the same level of provision and blessing whether you're obedient or disobedient? No, you won't. No, you won't. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, there's a play on the word devour in these verses. It's the exact same word where it says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That word eat is the same word translated devour. So there's a play on the words. If you're willing and obedient, you'll devour the good. Other translation says, you'll eat the best of the land. One says, the good things of the land will be yours. The Living Bible, listen to the Living. The Living Bible says, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. You might say, well, how'd they get that? Well, if you're eating the best, wearing the best, driving the best, living in the best, folks would call you rich. Right? Sure they would. But the word is, if you're willing and obedient, you will devour. That can also be translated consume. You will consume the best. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be consumed. That's the original words. Consume or be consumed. Devour or be devoured. The Young's literal, and you can see why I like it. If you've been around here, you know I like Young's literal translation. Yes. Hmm? Yes, if you didn't know, I'm telling you. I like it. Why? Because people are too loose with the Word of God. They're too loose. There's a lot of so-called translations. They are not translations. They are paraphrases, and they don't list themselves as a paraphrase, and they're not telling you what God said. They're telling you what they think He meant. Don't tell me what you think He meant. I want to know what He said, and I'll do my own thinking, thank you. How about you? If you refuse and have rebelled, back up to 19, excuse me, Young's literal. If you are willing and have hearkened, the good of the land you consume. And then verse 19, and if you refuse and have rebelled, by the sword you are consumed. You see how accurate that is? That's why I like it. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. Now, to devour means to eat up. Eat up, swallow up, devour. And you'll find that the curse consumes and the blessing increases. And you'll find there's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament and in the New about the blessing and the curse. In fact, go back to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy 28. You'll find the curse and the blessings of keeping God's commandments in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Deuteronomy 28, I won't go through all of it for time's sake, but in the first several verses, he says, if you will hearken. Did you hear that? Yes. If you'll listen to me, and if you'll do what I tell you, all these blessings will come on you. You'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, blessed, blessed, blessed. Your flocks will be increased. Your herds will be increased. Huh? What's causing all that? Blessing. What kind of God is God? He's the God of increase. Right? How does He do it? Through His blessing. But then about halfway through the chapter, he says, but if you decide you don't want to listen to me, are we still talking about obedience? Yes. If you decide you don't want to listen to me, you can in this life, you can go your own way. You can do your own thing. You can ignore God and do whatever you want. Most people do. But you're a fool if you do. Hmm? You can't. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to pray. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to do anything for God. Most people don't. I'm talking about nearly 8 billion on the planet? The vast majority. Either do something else or they do nothing at all. It's a relatively small percentage of people that care enough to want to find out what God wants them to do and actually do it. Which is why there are relatively few that see the full blessing of increase on their life too, because you got to be willing and obedient to experience that and see that. And so what he's saying is, if you listen to me, if you do what I tell you, then all these good things will happen. But if you don't, if you don't. Now, you know, God cannot put his blessing and approval on disobedience and rebellion. That would hopelessly confuse everybody. Right? No. And it's not that he's trying to hurt you or against you, but all he's got to do is not help you. And you're in trouble. Right? And then Deuteronomy 28, look at what the curse does. I had mentioned the curse consumes. And the blessing adds to, increases, multiplies. Deuteronomy 28:29. To put that up for us, please. It says, talking about if you don't listen to God, you'll grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in all your ways. Well, does God want us to prosper or not? Well, if sometimes he doesn't want you to prosper, then this wouldn't be a deterrent. Can you see what I'm saying? You'll be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man will save you. 33. Just look at a couple of these. Verse 33. The fruit of your land and all your labors shall a nation which you know not eat up. You hear this language? That's that word devour. Eat up, devour, consume. It'll be consumed, and you'll be only oppressed and crushed always. That's a curse. I said, that's a curse. And it's not a curse for obeying God. It's a curse for ignoring him and rejecting him. Verse 38. You'll carry much seed out into the field and gather but little. For the locust shall what? Consume it. Verse 39. You'll plant vineyards and dress them, but neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes. For the worms will eat them. You keep hearing this word, don't you? Consume, eat, devour. Verse 40. You'll have olive trees throughout your coast, but you won't anoint yourself with oil. Your olive will cast his fruit. Skip on down to verse 42. All your trees and fruit of the land shall the locust do what? Consume. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses will come on you and pursue you and overtake you till you're destroyed. Why? Why? Because God just decided that good things weren't for you? No, because you decided not to listen to God or keep his commandments or statutes that he commanded you. Verse 51. Talking about the enemy will eat the fruit of your cattle, eat the fruit of your land till you'll be destroyed, and won't leave you corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kind, or flocks of your sheep, till he have destroyed you. This is the curse. Tell me the good news about the curse of the law. Anybody ever read Galatians in the New Testament? Third chapter, 13th verse? Huh? Anybody ever saw that or heard that? Christ has redeemed us. Woo! From the curse of the law being made a curse for us. But we must understand that the curse is never God's perfect will. Always the blessing is God's perfect will. And even though we've been redeemed and the Lord has made a way, even though we've sinned and come short, he's made a way that we can be made righteous, still, you got to listen to him. Or if you ignore him and won't obey him, then you're not on the path that he has provided for. You're on the wrong road. And when you're on the wrong road, you wind up at the wrong place. And being at the wrong place at the wrong time is when you can get in trouble. And bad things can happen, and people get upset, and they blame it on God. But the truth is, they never should have been there. They never should have been on that road. They never should have been in that place but it's because they wouldn't listen. You can sum up the problems of the whole world with two words: won't listen. Won't listen to God. That's it. Because there's nothing God can't fix. If people would listen to Him, He can fix anything. He can fix drought. He can fix poverty. Is that right?
Yes.
He can fix disease. He can fix pandemic. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
He can fix, you know, economic problems and what. He can fix anything, but He won't make you listen to Him. He won't. And all the problems that are in the earth is because men and women are not listening to Him. They've ignored Him. They're doing their own thing. And I can't control all that, nor can you, but I can decide for myself that I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to seek His will. I purpose to listen to Him and obey Him and do it willingly. And therefore, I can expect to eat the best, wear the best, live in the best, drive the best, preach in the best. Hallelujah. And we're experiencing it.
Yes.
We're experiencing it. Now, I know people find fault with us and go, well, you shouldn't do that. And, well, hey, thank God, because of America, we got the freedom to believe what we want to.
Right.
And so if they want to believe in a God who likes you poor, well, you can.
Yep.
But we don't believe in that God.
Oh.
I said, we don't believe in that God. So don't try to push your religion off on us. And we're endeavoring to practice what we preach.
Yes.
Huh? He's a good God. He's a good God. And His will is blessing and increase. But you do have to listen to Him to experience the fullness of that. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalm 35, please. Hallelujah. I'd have preached this to myself. Psalm 35 and 26. Talking about the enemies of God's people, He said, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. You know, it's a dumb thing to attack and try to hurt God's people. If you don't repent, you're going to experience some bad things. Verse 27, but let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. You did do yourself a great service when you help somebody that's doing something for God, when you help God's people. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Now, we've got folks that have so ignored the word that you've got a lot of people that have twisted this around, and they think God takes pleasure in the poverty of His people. But what kind of father would He be if He enjoys seeing His people go without and hurt? This is not a good place to get quiet, guys. Just... Am I reading Scripture? I didn't write this. You didn't write this. Let them say continually. That's not just once in a while. You're supposed to say this on a regular basis. Say what? Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Are you His servant? His child and His servant? Does it please Him when you prosper? Does it please Him when you do without? Is it both? How would you know which and when? No. Lack is not of God. It's part of the curse. We just got through reading some of that. Everything being consumed and lost, that's not God's perfect will. That's for the disobedient. That's for the rebellious, those that reject God. Now think about this. There are people who say, well, you know, everybody deserves a good life. Everybody deserves a happy, successful life. Not according to God. Huh? No. He says, if you rebel and refuse, you shouldn't be blessed. Right? And you see how messed up people are. Because in their thinking, they have changed the word. They have replaced it with their own religion and own tradition. No, everybody doesn't deserve a good life just because they exist. First of all, you need to acknowledge why you exist. How you exist. Huh? I was thanking God this morning for my existence.
Amen.
Huh? I wouldn't be alive. You wouldn't either. I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Him. Did He owe me existence? I don't think so. Does He owe me blessings and benefits because I've lived such a perfect life? No. But because of Jesus and mercy and grace, I get to enjoy it anyway. So I should be thankful. I should be so thankful worshiping my God daily. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Said out loud, the Lord my God
is much to be magnified.
And He takes pleasure
when I prosper.
Is that true? Well, let's make God happy. let's make God happy. Let Him bless you. Let Him increase you. Let's give God pleasure. Let's make Him happy. Huh? Would you let God be happy? Then we're going to have to see some prospering in your life. But now here is the thing. Many have a very narrow, limited concept of what prosperity is. God's prospering us is much more than money. It's a component of it, but it's not even the biggest part. And when people hear the word prosperity, it's even become a despised word in some churches and circles. They talk about people like me and go, oh, he preaches that prosperity gospel. And they don't say that as a compliment. But the word prosperity is a Bible word. And the word gospel is a Bible word. And it means good news. And so what kind of gospel do they preach? Is it truly good news? We'll save that for another time. But listen to this word prosperity. It's also translated peace. It's translated health. It means to be well off. To be well off. So prosperity is never going to be a dollar amount. Because that's going to vary wildly according to your call. A bunch of money that you're not doing something with can actually be a burden and a responsibility. I heard somebody say, well, I'd like to have that burden. You probably don't qualify because you think that way. But no, one of the definitions to me of prosperity is what the scripture says in Corinthians, always having all sufficiency in all things and abounding to every good work. Well, how much is that? That's going to vary. In your life and mine, right? But it's more than enough to do everything you need to do And let's see. Put up on the screen 3 John 2, because this describes prosperity, again, from a biblical definition. Beloved, I wish or pray or desire above all things that you may prosper, and it's connected to and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul prospers. Having a bunch of money doesn't mean you're blessed. It doesn't mean you're happy. It doesn't mean you have peace. It doesn't mean you have good relationships and people that you care about and care about you and things are good and well with you. No. Money is just a tool. You need some, but just because you have money doesn't mean you're prosperous. I mean, you could have all the money in the world, but if you're so sick, you can't leave the room, can't use it, can't do anything, you're poor. Can you see that? If you got health and you got money, but everybody thinks you're too mean to be around, and you got no friends, you got nobody to enjoy it with, you're not rich. Can you see this? And so we must not have this narrow idea that more money means I'm prospering. There should be increase, but in every good thing. Hallelujah. Even as your soul prospers. Oh, somebody say thank you. Even as your soul prospers. And as your soul is prospering, your body is prospering. Hallelujah. Your mind is prospering. Your soul is prospering. Your marriage is prospering. Your children and grandchildren are prospering. Come on, are you listening? Because this prosperity includes protection. Hallelujah. Protection. And what you see is that just because you have a lot more money and stuff come in, that does not mean you prosper. Because the bottom line is the result. Anybody know what profit is? It's what's left of the income after the expenses. You got to subtract the expenses from the income to see where you are. People say, well, I had $1.5 million come in. What's the expenses? 1.6. Then how you doing? You ain't doing good. Is that right? You're not doing good. So getting caught up in numbers and only talking about income. And here's the thing. In order to prosper, at least as important as what's coming in is what you didn't lose. What you didn't lose and what didn't cost you. What you didn't lose and what didn't cost you. Because you can have all kind of stuff come in. But just like that, tomorrow you can have some bad thing happen and it takes it all away plus. Right? So we must have our mind renewed about what real godly prosperity is. It is not just a bunch of money. It is not just increase in numbers in income. Sure, God's will is increase for that. But there's much more to it. Go to Malachi, if you would. Well, excuse me. Before you do that, you can go there too. But stay in Psalms 35:27. I want to read these other translations. The word prosper means success. It means to push forward. It means to help down the road. Well, you hear the term in the scriptures, a prosperous journey. Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean? It means you got there.
Yeah.
Right? You got there and you didn't have problems in between here and there.
Yeah, that's right.
I pray that over ourselves all the time when we travel. I say, Lord, thank you for the day and for helping us. And ministering spirits, you've been charged concerning us. Go. Prepare the way. Prosper our way. Before, behind, above, beneath, round about. Keep us from any harm and damage, loss and problems. Every evil spirit that would think to hinder us, harass us, hurt us, I forbid it. I bind you in Jesus' name, command you to stop in any and all operations or maneuvers against us. So I got angelic help, and the devil can't mess with me. Huh? All you need is a little fuel, and you're ready to go. But prospering means success, a successful endeavor. You made it. You accomplished what the Lord directed you to do. The enemy wasn't able to stop you. In many cases, he wasn't even able to hinder you. This is good. This is the will of God. This is the plan of God. And so listen to other translations of this Psalm 35:27 that said, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The NIV says he delights in the well-being of his servant. Can you hear that's more than money? He delights in the peace of his servant. Well, if you don't have enough money to pay your bills, well, that's going to affect your peace. So it all goes together. The New Century says he loves to see his servants do well. Do you believe God is that good of a father? Huh? And that he knows you and cares about you, and he enjoys seeing you do well. He takes pleasure in that. Then in order to make God happy, I got to do well. You too. Today's English says, how great is the Lord? He is pleased with the success of his servant. Success. Now that success is not just the Lord providing income. Because like we said, the enemy is the devourer. Is that right? Anybody remember the scripture said, the devil, your adversary, he is going about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Now, I'm glad that phrase is in there, seeking whom he may. Because that reveals there's some he may and there's some he may not. Where would be some of these may nots? These may, I'm a may not. He may not devour me. But now, if you're going to be a hardhead and stubborn and won't listen to God, you won't be a may not. These are for people that listen to the Lord. But if you will, the wicked one can't touch you. And the Bible even says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. People that want to hurt you can't seem to get anything going. Why? And it's not because you're yelling at the devil all the time. It's just you're endeavoring to please the Lord. And when your ways please him, it gives him all kind of access and rights to stop what the enemy would try to do against you. Now in what place are you going to? Malachi. Go to Malachi. The third chapter. Malachi 3:6. He says, I am the Lord. I don't change. I change not. That's important to remember. People change. Trends change. Ideas change, not God. I hear people talking about, you know, well, we need to make the gospel relevant for this modern generation. No, this generation needs to adapt itself to the gospel and to God. No, no, ma'am. No, sir. I am the Lord. I don't change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are what? Not consumed. Not consumed. You know, Phyllis and I, looking back over our life for the last several years. Now, we'll, a few days ago, we celebrated 47 years of marriage. We dated 3 years before that. We've been together 50 years. Both still around. Still going. We've been in the ministry over 40 years of that. And still, you know, we hadn't had to close the doors. Huh? Yeah. Hadn't been incapacitated or stopped. This is the goodness of the Lord. Yes. I said, this is the goodness of the Lord. Yes. And we don't claim to have done everything perfect and right. You know that. But even if you make a mistake, you can repent. Yes. Is that right? Yes. And even if you thought wrong, well, you can get corrected. And you can get off track. You can get back on track. Yes. And be willing and obedient and enjoy the good of the land. Yes. Well, before I read Malachi, don't turn there, but in Luke 15, you know the story of the prodigal son and how he said he wanted his inheritance early. And the father gave it to them. And verse 13 says, after many days, he gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted all that the father had given him by leaving where he should have stayed and going where he shouldn't have been and got involved with people he shouldn't have been involved with. Is that right? So then the adversary was able to consume everything he had. He spent all he had, and then there came a famine, it said. A mighty famine, just as he ran out of money. Talk about timing. Huh? But was he willing and obedient? No, he didn't ask the Father, what do you want me to do? Right? No, he had his own plans. He did his own thing and he lost everything. And you know, when the Lord was talking to Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham interceded because he knew Lot and his family were down there. And He talked about that it's not like the righteous judge to consume and destroy the righteous with the wicked. And you know that he pled with the Lord and said, well, if there's 50 or 45, and he got down to 10, I think he was sure there was more than 10 in Lot's extended family. But the problem was they weren't just in Sodom. Sodom had got in them. And you couldn't find 10 godly people in those whole two huge cities. And so everything, if you back up a little bit, Lot was super rich. As long as he was connected with Abraham. Is that right? I mean, he was so rich. He had herds and flocks and all of this just like Abraham had. But did he lose it all? Was the enemy able to consume and devour all his family, everything he had? He lost it all. Why? He separated from the ones God joined him to. Can you see this? I've seen people leave a good church, travel across the country, leave a church where their marriage got restored, where their babies got healed. Come on, y'all listening to me? And go across the country for a raise of, you know, a couple of thousand a year. Well, how long would it take to eat up that couple of thousand if you got bills and problems that you wouldn't have had at the other place? Come on, can you see this? You know, Phyllis and I have a few nice things. I got some nice motorcycles.
Praise God.
Oh, brother. I mean, they rattle the window panes when you rev them up. You know, scare small children. But you know, I don't have a drug habit. Huh? I mean, from all the money I save on cigarettes, I could buy a new motorcycle. Is that right? I don't have a gambling habit. No heroin, no cocaine. So why can't I have a new car? You see what I'm talking about? It's not just what you got coming in, but it's what you, and all the money we've saved on not, Phyllis and I, on not getting divorced. I mean, how much money can you save? Is that right there? How much money can you save by not having to spend half your time in the doctor's office? See, this is prosperity. This is blessing. Hallelujah. Where the curse consumes and eats up and devours, the blessing adds to, increases. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Hallelujah. And He adds no sorrow. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, being at the wrong place, separating from the people God joined you to, even if you had five times the money coming in, you're not going to prosper. You can't tell God, well, my plan is as good as yours. So just bless my plan like you were going to bless your plan. That's not going to go good. No, he can't do that. It'd be hurting you for him to prosper anything that took you away from him. No, he can't do that. If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured. Is that scripture? Is it written? If you're willing and obedient, you'll devour. You'll consume. Hallelujah. The good and the best. But if you get hard-headed and stubborn and you want to do it your own way, well, you certainly can. Most people do. But you will be devoured. In Malachi, the third chapter. Have you got a couple more minutes here? Verse 6, what did he say? I am the Lord. I change not. And that's why you're not consumed. How many think we ought to lift our hands right now and thank the Lord? Not just for all the good things that have happened for us, but for all the bad stuff that hasn't happened to us. All you got to do is look around in the world and see there's some bad stuff happening all over the place. All the tragedies I didn't have. All of the losses we didn't have. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me, sparing us, delivering us, protecting us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that we are not consumed. We are not destroyed. We are not devoured. Hallelujah. You know what we call the Lord's Prayer is actually Him teaching us to pray, the disciples and us to pray. Remember how it goes? He said, lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us. He talked about, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's income. That's provision. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, that's not being consumed. Can you see that? Not being destroyed. So you got both. You got income and you got protection from being consumed. Hallelujah. That's how you prosper. Hallelujah. And not just maintain, but actually increase year to year. Hallelujah. You go up. You have more. More. Because you got two things going for you. You, I understand, real simple. How do you fill up a bathtub? There's two things. Huh? I said there's two things, not one. There's two things. How do you fill up a tub? You got to have some water coming in, right? You're not going to fill it without some water coming in. But what else you got to do? You got to stop the loss. You got to stop the drain. And the Lord showed me that years ago in healing school, that that's with your health as well. That even though the Lord touches you and helps you with healing, if you never quit, if you never stop, and you're worrying and fretting all the time, then that's draining you as quick or quicker as you're getting strengthened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why people will go year after year and not get better. Not only do you need some inflow, you got to stop the drain.
Yeah.
Stop the loss. Stop the worry. Stop the fleshly stuff that you don't need to be doing. Are y'all with me or not? This is an answer.
Yes, sir.
Stop it. And with your prospering in your whole life, you got to stop the losses. Stop the enemy devouring.
Yes.
Hmm? Didn't the Bible say, give no place, neither give place to the devil? Why? What's he going to do if he has a place and opportunity? He's going to destroy. He's going to devour. He's looking for who he can consume and devour. And it doesn't have to be you, but we do have to listen. Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you. Now this is King James, but it could also be translated, bring back to me and I'll bring back to you. Give back to me and I'll give back to you. And they said, wherein shall we return? What are we going to give back to you? And this one he says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now you hear how quiet it got? Most of the church, I'm talking about over the country and the world, does not tithe. And they have all kind of reasons and justifications. But mostly, with most people, it's about the money. It's not really about their revelation. But again, if you be willing and what? And there's a big part of the church that's disobedient concerning this. They won't do this. And I'm not talking about tithing to a church. I'm not talking about tithing to us, the church. I'm talking about God said it's His. Tithing to Him and offerings to Him. And notice he goes on to say, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Well, let me keep reading. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food or provision in my house. That's how it worked then. Does God still want provision in His house today?
Yes.
How does that come? People say, well, I just believe in being led. Me too. But if you're consistently doing nothing, you ain't being led. And if you're consistently doing less under the new and better covenant than they did under the old, you're not being led. Hmm? It's easy to be fleshly. And, you know, where money's concerned, whew, people get serious. But do you want to eat the good of the land? Do you? Well, obedience. Right? Obedience and willingness is key. That there may be food in my house and prove me. What if everybody that went to church tithed and gave offerings? Oh, dear me, there'd be money everywhere. Right? Money everywhere. More than enough. Instead of people closing their doors. But he said, prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And if you looked at Leviticus 26, which talking about some of the same things that Deuteronomy 28 did, he said you'll have to bring forth the old because of the new. What he's saying is your threshing will reach to your harvest. What he's saying is you'll be taking in new abundant crops, but you haven't used up your old. And you'll have to take out, you know, the clothes you got 2 years ago to put it because you got no room for the new clothes.
Yeah.
And you got to take the four-year-old car out of the garage to make room for the 2025. Huh? That's what he's talking about. It's just these kind of things. If you're willing and obedient. And so he said, if you'll do this, if you'll put me first, if you honor me with your first fruits and tithes and offerings and put me first. He said, check me out. Watch what I'll do. Right? I'm going to open up windows of heaven. These are avenues of access from heaven to your life. Windows, plural. Do you want God to have access to all your business? Well, you got to care about his business. I said, you got to care about his business. And if you'll do that, I will pour you out a blessing. You're going to run out of room. You're going to run out of room. Huh? It's going to keep coming in. You're going to run out of room. Do you know you can have so much money, you can't keep putting it in the same account? You have to open a different account? Especially because a lot of accounts are only insured up to a certain amount. And you say, well, this is too much money to put in that account. What will I do? Now, you're laughing. But is God big enough to do this kind of thing? Is he good enough? Would he? Especially if you're somebody that's not selfish and won't hoard it, but you'll let it not just come to you, you'll let it come through you. Then you'll find he'll use you as a distribution point. Anybody interested in that? Look at the next verse. And people say, well, I don't believe in tithing for today. Well, then you need to stop up your ears on this next part because this you won't have this. You can't reject one and have the other. And I will do what? Rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God stepping in. Stepping in on your behalf against the devourer, your adversary, going, no, you don't. What? You cannot destroy their fruits. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. This is stopping the drain. You didn't have to replace your refrigerator because it was blessed and it ran like a top for 20 years. Your tires lasted a long time because you didn't run up over the curb and run through nails, and God spared you and helped you out. And there are 1,001 things that if you didn't have to pay for, if you didn't lose, it contributes to your overall prosperity. Hallelujah. You could make a fraction of the money somebody else is making and still be way more prosperous than they are. Come on, can you see this? Because of what we're talking about. And then you can have more money come in too. The Lord said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. For who? For the people who don't believe in tithing anymore. No. That's being unwilling and disobedient. You don't have to. We do. I said we do. And we're enjoying it too. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. You won't lose whole crops. Your things, your labors won't be in vain. Your things won't be consumed. You won't lose days because you're sick. You won't lose days and money over legal problems and being sued. Come on, y'all with me now. See, all of this is the consumer, the devourer, eating up. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. If you believed that, you would see how quick you could get that tithe to the Lord. Is that right? If you really believe that, nobody would be having to twist your arm to bring a tithe to the Lord. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He will not destroy. The fruits of your ground, are your vine won't cast their fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations. You know, that's God's will for all Israel. And it's God's will for all the U.S. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. That we be so blessed, we be so protected, we so spared from all this devouring we're talking about, that other nations look at us and go, what is going on with them? How do they do that? How do they avoid? And that's when we should tell them about the good news. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Is that for you?
Yes.
Is that for me?
Yes.
Is God a respecter of persons? No. Does he ever change? No. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.